Good morning, Carmel. It's great to see everyone here today. What a joy it is to be in this place together as we study and worship, to study the Word and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you bring your door with you today? I brought mine, because we're going to be talking about doors today as we look at these short books of 2 and 3 John. We're going to be talking about doors, and I cringe at the sound of the unexpected doorbell. Let me give you a little context. I grew up on a farm way out in the middle of nowhere, and it wasn't often that people would come by unexpectedly. Before moving here to Matthews, my family and I, we had a home that was a half mile from any pavement. So it wasn't many people walking up on our porch and knocking on the door. So moving here to Matthews almost 4.5 years ago, we experienced something a little bit different with solicitors coming by. I'm amazed at how many people wanted to come and sell me something, have some literature for me to read, fix the gutters on my house with a new system, or maybe some lawn care advice, or cookies, yeah, to sell, and 405 reasons to vote for a particular political candidate. But there's one time I remember 3 years ago that my family and I, we had just traveled to China to bring home our daughter through adoption. And coming home, we were exhausted. We instituted in our home the afternoon nap for a season. And it was about 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. I had just settled in. I just fell asleep and I heard that ring of the doorbell. Surely anybody who knows us knows what's going on in our life, and they wouldn't be coming unexpectedly. Maybe they'll go away. But it continued to ring and persisted to ring more and more and more. And I thought, well, maybe this is something important. So I go downstairs, I open the door, and there stands the tree man. Yes, the tree man happened to be in our neighborhood that day and happened to notice there was a few trees in our front yard that could use some trimming. And I stopped him for a moment to point right beside my door there. There's a doorbell and there's a little sign. Because we had so many solicitors come by our house, I put a no soliciting sign right beside the doorbell. And I asked him if he had seen that. And he said, oh, no, sir, I didn't notice that. But let me continue with what I want to tell you. And so he continued to tell me about his tree cutting service. And I paused him again and said, sir, you need to understand something. We rent this home. We don't own this home. We don't own these trees. I can't give you the authority to do anything with these trees. But that didn't faze him. He now went into the credentials side of his spiel for me. As he tells me, he is the owner of this company and has been doing this for over 20 years. Which makes me stop and wonder. If you've been doing this for 20 years, why are you going in my neighborhood door to door asking people if you can cut their trees? Maybe a few of those trees have gone the wrong direction for you. I don't know. We have people show up at our door. Some of those people we want to come and some of them we don't. Sometimes we need to shut the door and sometimes we need to open the door. Like when they bring cookies that are thin and minty. Those are good. How do we know the difference? Not just physically opening and shutting the door, but spiritually. How do we know when to open the door of our heart and our life to others and when to shut the door? The Apostle John talks about this in two short letters that we are going to be covering on our journey through Route 66, our journey through the Bible. We're looking at 2 and 3 John, and I see these a little more as postcards then I do longer letters, like 1 John that we looked at last week was a longer letter with a lot of teaching. 2 John is a short letter to a specific fellowship there near Ephesus. And also, 3 John is written to a specific person, Gaius, who is a church leader there. So that we can remember these, though, we'll look at our walk through the Bible cartoons of 2 John. Yawn. Okay, do that with me. 2 John. Now, be careful, that's contagious. Second John, the theme is shut the door. We'll unpack what that means here in just a moment. And then the book of, y'all do it with me, third John is open the door. How do we know when to shut the door and when to open the door? If you'll read along with me in 2 John, we'll start at verse 4, where the apostle says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. Now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Everyone who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. There's a couple of terms that come up here in this passage. One is the term of walk, and the other is truth. And we'll take a look at each one of these. When we talk about motivation today, we often talk about drive. What are you driven to do? Because our primary mode of transportation is driving a car. But back in biblical times, people walked everywhere they went. So it's not a surprise to us that in the biblical context, we see commands to walk in Christ, to walk in the Spirit, to walk here in truth. But whenever we bring up this word of truth, we have to understand what John means by this word truth. This is something that's been debated much within our current culture. We live in a world that values discovering your own truth. What's true for you is emphasized. Even in 2016, the Oxford Dictionary created a new word, their word of the year, and it's post-truth. And the definition they gave for this word of post-truth is this: relating to or denoting circumstances which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion, appealing more to emotions and personal belief. But in the church, as much as we decry the moral relativism that continues to shape our culture, they wrestled with this during New Testament times also. The Apostle John seems to key in on this concept of truth, and what is it? He recalls in John chapter 14, the night before Jesus was arrested and crucified, he's meeting with his disciples and he's instructing them, I am going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Thomas, one of the disciples, says, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there. And Jesus says the phrase that many of us have memorized, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he continues by explaining to them that it's good for him to go away because he will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will live within them. And Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Later that night, the Apostle John records for us a prayer that Jesus has with God the Father. And in John chapter 17, during that prayer, Jesus says to the Father, your word is truth. Then the next day, after Jesus is arrested and he stands before Pilate, the governor, Pilate says to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" What is the truth that the Apostle John speaks of here in 2 and 3 John? Is the truth found in the person of Christ? Is the truth found in the message of our Bible? Is the truth found in the proclamation of the gospel? The answer to all these questions is yes. Jesus is the truth, his message is the truth, and the gospel that he died on the cross for our sin and was raised on the third day is the truth. Most people in our world like the concept of Jesus, meaning a gracious, loving Savior. But many people have difficulty, at best, with the things that Jesus actually said. See, this is an incongruent thought with what Jesus taught. Because he said, if we love him, we will obey him. If we trust in him, we will walk with him. So why is this truth important? What's at stake? What happens if we don't walk in the truth? God has a path and a destination for us, for all people. And he's called us and invited us to follow him, to follow Christ definitively. But if we follow the wrong path, we don't get to the destination we were hoping for. I think about a time almost 19 years ago where my wife Angela and I, we were married for about a month, and we were invited by my family to join them for a couple of days down in Myrtle Beach. So at the last minute, we head out down towards Myrtle Beach, but we get a little turned around in this place called Florence, South Carolina. These are the days before you had a GPS, everybody had a GPS on their dashboard, or a phone that would give you turn-by-turn directions. I had gone to the glove compartment to pull out an old map that was obviously outdated, because once we got into Florence, the road that I thought we were supposed to take no longer existed. So I stopped, and I asked someone about this road. Can you help me find highway number such and such? And the person was very kind, and they said, yes, just go right on down this road right here where you're going and make a right-hand turn, and you're on your way. Great. We take off for the beach. We make the right-hand turn, and I drive, and I drive. And I begin to think, this doesn't feel like it's leading us to Myrtle Beach. This doesn't seem right. My wife begins to chuckle. We're newlyweds, and she asked me the question, are we lost? Ha, ha, ha. No. No, no, we are not lost. Let me see where this goes. And after driving a little longer, I become convinced it's time to stop and ask somebody. I find a gentleman at a gas station, and he laughs at me, and he says, you can't get to Myrtle Beach from here. You got to go back to Florence, South Carolina. So we travel back. Long story short, we end up getting to the beach, finally. After enduring the first tense moment of our marriage here, because when I got back in the car, she continues to laugh. I didn't think it was that funny. If we're not careful how we walk, we end up walking in the wrong direction. If we're not walking in the truth, then we're in a dangerous place. Much worse than getting, quote unquote, lost, going to Myrtle Beach. This is a life or death situation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I have come that you might have life, abundant life. But then in the exact same verse, John 10, 10, he says, the enemy, the thief, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What's at stake with the truth is life or death. The abundant life that Jesus offers and provides for us, or the deception and the lies of Satan that seek to destroy us. So let's dig in a little more into the book of 2 John. As we consider this truth, what is John saying here? What is he telling us to watch out for? If we're going to walk in the truth, there are moments that we must shut the door. That's what John is saying here. Who do we shut the door to? Deceivers. These deceivers are teachers who deny Christ and deny his truth. These are teachers who do not abide in Christ. These are teachers who do not have God. Who are these deceivers, though? It's important to note that these deceivers are not people outside of the church fellowship. These are people within the fellowship. These are people who have claimed to know Christ, but yet they have embraced heretical teachings. They're people who have walked away from the truth. Very different from lost people who've never acknowledged the truth. So what does John mean by shutting the door here? What do? We engage. When we talk about shutting the door, we're not talking about physically shutting people out here. We're talking about spiritually. How do we shut the door spiritually? It means that we engage with people, but we aren't influenced by their opinions. We have conversation with them for the purpose of understanding their viewpoint and having an opportunity to share the truth with them, but we refuse to argue. The arguments are fruitless. They quickly lead to pride. There's a better way. We protect the truth and challenge the lies with grace. There's a beautiful both and presented to us in the Word of God. The both and of grace and truth. Equally important. Because our Lord and Savior is defined in John chapter 1 as being someone who is filled with grace and with truth. The followers of Christ in the early church have both grace and truth. Whenever you and I engage with people with grace and truth, the Holy Spirit works in a powerful way to reach others with the gospel. But we do need to heed the warning that we find here in verse 8. Watch yourselves. John says to the church, watch yourselves. Carmel, how do we need to watch ourselves? How do we need to shut the door to those who are trying to deceive us? How do we need to watch ourselves? Here's a few. Be careful with media. We live amongst media all day long. We're saturated with media, and we're bombarded constantly with messages that are counter to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that are opposed to the truth of Jesus. So we need to be careful how we filter the things that we hear and what we see. But also, we need to be careful about the teaching that we receive. We need to make sure that those that we allow to teach us are teaching from a biblical worldview, because as we listen to people teach and we embrace what they're teaching, we are shaped by what we hear. And one more example is mentors. Every person in this room ought to have a spiritual mentor, somebody that you're looking up to, somebody who is guiding you and helping you grow in Christ, encouraging your faith. Mentors may be people that are very close to us that we are with often, and maybe people far away that we listen to or see through media. But those who mentor us will shape our thoughts and our view of the truth. If that person is not taking us directly to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, watch out, John says, because they may deceive us. It's about protecting the door. Protecting the door. Now, we don't protect the truth because the truth is fragile. The truth is not fragile. The truth is not something that we might accidentally drop and break. We're not protecting the truth for this reason. We're protecting the truth in the same way that most of us have a security system at home. We don't have a security system at home because we hate people or don't want people to come by. We have a security system because we realize there's a danger in this world and there are people that want to harm us. So we protect the door. And likewise, we protect the door of our heart. The Holy Spirit is our security. The Holy Spirit provides ways to protect the truth that God has placed within us. And John gives us here in this short postcard letter some ways that we can protect the truth. One of those is found in verse 9. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So if we want to protect the truth, we have to start with abiding. Abiding in Christ. Abiding in His truth. Then we build relationships with people. We seek out people that will encourage us in faith, will encourage our walk in the truth. And if you haven't discovered this, we have some great opportunities right here at Carmel in our discipleship communities where we're walking together, learning and living the truth of God's Word. A third way is that we protect the truth is we boldly live out the gospel in the words that we speak, and in the actions and the way that we live. So there are times that we need to shut the door to those who want to deceive us. But there are other times that we need to open the door. And we'll move now to 3 John, where we see here the encouragement for Gaius, one of the leaders in the fellowship there in Ephesus. He's leading, and John has a special relationship with him because Gaius is not only a disciple of Jesus Christ, but has become a disciple of John, who is teaching him in leadership and how to shepherd this fellowship. And this is what he says to him, starting in verse 1 of 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So, if I come, I will bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. There's an interesting picture that's before us here with the life of Gaius and Diotrephes. Gaius is one who has put others first, put God first and others first. He continues to show love for people, even in the midst of a difficult situation. He is encouraged, and he is encouraging and supporting those who teach the truth. Gaius was an example of what it looks like to walk in the truth that others should follow. But John was also concerned about another leader in that fellowship, Diotrephes, who was not walking in the truth. John says that he puts himself first. He slandered those who teach the truth. He prevented and persecuted others who supported traveling missionaries. And he has a message to Gaius: I will deal with him when I get there soon. But you, Gaius, continue to walk in the truth. So, Carmel, we see from this that we are to open the door. We are to open the door to those who proclaim the gospel message of Christ. We are to open the door to those who will encourage faith in Christ. So how can we open the door? Here's a few ways. We can pray for those who teach and lead in Christ's church. We can encourage and support those who are going to near and far off places with the gospel of Jesus. We can open the door of the gospel by being a disciple who makes disciples of others with every single thing that God has given to us. How do we bring 2 and 3 John together, where one is talking about shutting the door to deceivers and opening doors to those who would proclaim the gospel? The truth of Christ is something that we as believers in Jesus should be committed to defend and to support. We have this commitment, again, not because this is the truth is fragile. We have this commitment because we have been saved by the truth of Jesus Christ. Our lives have been changed for now and for eternity because the Holy Spirit has pierced our heart with the truth. From a heart of gratitude, we embrace a loyalty that is similar to but much greater than what we'll celebrate this week. Many people will display the flag of the United States of America as a part of our 4th of July celebrations. But some people in this worship center have gone into battle under this banner. And for you, this has a deeper meaning. If that's you, thank you for serving. Thank you for your sacrifice for our freedom here in America. For the family members who've lost loved ones in battle, the folded flag has a much deeper meaning for them. This sentiment is magnified for us as followers of Christ. The truth of Christ is the banner under which we fight, under which we run to. For us, the truth is not a debate to be won, but a life to live in Christ. It's worth more than our loyalty. It's worth all of our lives. The Apostle John was so devoted to the truth that he endured great persecution. The other apostles, the truth was worth dying to proclaim. For our Lord and Savior Jesus, our King, the truth was worth the cross. Rescuing his people from the slavery of sin, and eternal death cost him everything. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead. By trusting in Christ for salvation, embracing his truth, we turn away from our love of sin and we turn to the love of Jesus. And we are forever changed. You see, the truth doesn't make a good person better. The truth of Jesus Christ makes a dead person alive. That's the gospel message. The truth changes a person. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Today we celebrate. We celebrate freedom in Christ as we do every day of our lives by walking in the truth. Today we celebrate at the Lord's table because we remember. We remember what Christ has done. We remember the sacrifice that he made on the cross so that we may be saved and forgiven and set free. We remember his resurrection and the hope that we have in eternity. May we remember that he is inviting us to walk in the truth daily. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise this morning that you have given us the truth because you are the truth. And as we walk in you, in your Son, Christ Jesus, we have the truth. Father, we pray that we would live in a way that honors you, that we'd follow the path of truth that you have set. Father, that our lives would be an example of Christ, changed by the truth. Father, we pray that now as we remember, Father, that your Spirit would work in truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.